You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Church Toronto West. For more information, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.
Well, I think that we can all agree this morning on one thing, that no one in this room likes an infestation. You agree with that? No one likes an infestation. Have you ever had or experienced an infestation? An infestation of ants, an infestation of cockroaches, an infestation of mice, an infestation of large rats, maybe. It happens. I think we can agree that no one likes an infestation. And depending on where you are in the world, the impact of various infestations upon different homes, they can range anywhere from being mildly inconvenient to being completely unlivable. I think we can all agree today that no one likes an infestation. Well, this morning we're coming to a portion of Scripture as we continue to unfold the unfolding drama in Exodus. We come to a portion of Scripture that highlights for us a brief and yet devastating period in Egyptian history. We're going to see that the people of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time, woke up every single morning to a living hell, all because in this season of history, a Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, listen, hardened his heart against the Lord. The title of this morning's message is this: The Utter Devastation of a Hard Heart. The Utter Devastation of a Hard Heart. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 7. We're continuing in our study of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 7. We're going to start reading from verse 2, and then we're going to make our way down to chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life changed by the Word of God. Exodus chapter 7, we're going to start, as I said, from verses 2, read down to verse 5. It's going to give us a bit of the context, and then we're going to go down. Starting from verse 2, says this: "You shall speak all that I command you," God says to Moses and Aaron. "And your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his hand. Listen, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." These verses of Scripture come to us as a good summary of what God has called Moses and Aaron to do, but also a good summary of what God himself will do to his opposition and what God himself will do for his people, that he will perform mighty acts of judgment on Pharaoh and the Egyptians because Pharaoh's heart is hardened towards God. We're going to see that a hard heart produces utter devastation. But before we begin to unpack it in chapters 7 to 10, I think it's important that we address a paradoxical and significant theological tension that's hovering over the entire book of Exodus. It's been mentioned a few times in our study up until now. It's mentioned particularly today and in chapters 7 to 10. Here's the tension that I want to address: God's sovereignty versus a human responsibility. that God is in full control of everything that's unfolding in history, and human beings at the same time are responsible for their actions. Let me explain why we need to address this. Three times in Exodus, God is the one that says that he will harden Pharaoh's heart that leads to the subsequent devastation of the plagues that we're going to look at today. Six times in Exodus, we see God actually hardening Pharaoh's heart, but then yet another three times, we're told that it is Pharaoh himself that hardens his heart. And so the logical question for us this morning is this: who is responsible for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart leading to the devastation of the plagues of judgment that followed? Did God harden Pharaoh's heart, or did Pharaoh harden his own heart? Well, here's the answer. Yes, that's the answer. That scripture teaches us that both are consistently true, that God is sovereign and humans are responsible. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. How does that make sense? Well, let me show you what J.I. Packer said about this on the screen. I found this helpful. J.I. Packer wrote this. A C.H. Spurgeon was once asked if he could reconcile these two truths to each other. I wouldn't try, he replied. I never reconcile friends. Friends? Yes, friends. This is the point that we have to grasp. In the Bible, divine sovereignty and human responsibility are not enemies. They're not uneasy neighbors. They are not in an endless state of cold war with each other. They are friends, and they work together. Now, there's so much more that I could say about this, but I don't have time to address all that could be said about this today. Neither is this the main thrust of our passage of Scripture today. But if you are interested in learning more about the relationship or the tension between God's sovereignty and human responsibility as it unravels all throughout the Bible, we're making ourselves available through a one-night workshop. The information's going to be on the screen for you. Our elders and staff are going to be teaching this, and we encourage you, if you have questions about this, if you're sitting here and saying, Jason, that wasn't enough explanation, I still don't get it, we encourage you to go to this workshop. It's happening on November the 28th, 7 p.m. at our church office. We encourage you to sign up online because space will be limited, and we trust that that's going to be a profitable time for you to learn about this very important and prevalent and often ignored theological theme in Scripture. Sign up for that workshop. But for today, what is our purpose? What is our aim? Here it is. Examining this reality, and I just have to believe that you're here for a particular reason to hear this message. Here's what we're examining. Pharaoh's heart was hard is yours. Pharaoh's heart was hard is yours. And this is where we're going to start. I want you to write this down. Three signs of a hard heart. We're going to pull it out from Exodus 7 to 10. Write this down. Persisting in unbelief, here it is, even when my idols are powerless. Persisting in unbelief, even when my idols are powerless. How do I know that I have a hard heart? How do I know that I'm about to face probably or maybe experiencing in my life right now the devastating consequences of a hard heart? How do I know that I'm there? When we persist in unbelief, even when our idols are powerless. Let me show you in the Bible, Exodus 7. Look there, Exodus 7, 8 to 13. It says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, Then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts. It's an amazing moment. God shows his power, and all of a sudden the wise men and the magicians are able to do the same. It's this moment that prompts then the devastating consequences of Pharaoh's hardened heart. And it's this moment I want you to see that exposes the idols of Egypt for what they truly are, a powerless. Now you say, what do you mean? The magicians did the same thing, didn't they? Well, I want you to look at verse 12 of chapter 7. It goes on to say, for each man, the magicians and sorcerers, cast down his staff, and they became serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Watch this now. But still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord said. So they perform the miracle. They emulate the miracle, it seems. But to display his authority over the gods of Egypt, Aaron's staff swallows up the magician's staffs. And still, Pharaoh persists with a hard heart. Now, two more times we see the magicians and sorcerers emulate the miracles of God. They're able by demonic power to turn water into blood and to produce frogs on the land. The problem is this wasn't a display of divine power. It was simply a counterfeit. Because what Pharaoh and the people of Egypt did not need is more water turning to blood. And they did not need more frogs appearing because this was a massive infestation in the land. The powerlessness of the idols of Egypt are shown in that while they can emulate the plague, they cannot cure the plague. And what the people of Egypt did not need is more plagues. The people of Egypt needed a cure for the plague. The magicians and sorcerers are being exposed for what they really are, a powerless. And yet, Pharaoh persists in unbelief and maintains a hard heart. Even though the idols and false gods of Egypt are powerless against the one true and living God. I just want you to know, loved ones, everyone in this room, the idols of this world are powerless. The things that we chase, the things that we pursue, the things that will meet the deepest longings of our hearts, while it looks like it has power to save and satisfy us forever, what you will find is that all the idols of this world are powerless for you. That's why one songwriter penned the following words: I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. Yes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. He wrote, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Why? Why? Because silver and gold don't have the power you need to satisfy the deepest desires and longings of your heart, because houses and lands don't have the solution for the deepest problems you are facing today, because riches untold can never cure the problem that you and every human being has deep within the soul, a problem of sin that needs to be remedied. Nothing in this world can save me or satisfy me forever. And maybe you're here in this room today and you acknowledge the emptiness and the powerlessness of the things of this world. But you keep chasing them. Maybe you're here and you're like, it's true. I've had a lot of women. I've had a lot of money. I've had success in my job. I've had it all. But why can't it meet the deepest longings of my heart? And you see the emptiness of it, but you keep chasing it. Why? Could it be that your heart is hard? Could it be that your heart is hard and you're persisting in unbelief even though your idols are powerless? Pharaoh worshipped himself. The magicians and sorcerers engaged in occult practices. What are you worshiping that leaves you empty every time? I want you to think of that thing that you are chasing that leaves you empty every time. And I want you to ask yourself the question, why does my heart keep chasing it if it leaves me empty every time? And then I want you to open your heart to God for a moment and say, Lord, could it be that my heart is getting hard? Three signs of a hard heart: persisting in unbelief even when my idols are powerless. Now, there's a second thing I want you to see. Three signs of a hard heart: not only persisting in unbelief even when my idols are powerless, but this now, persisting in unbelief even though God's authority is obvious. Even though God's authority is obvious. One thing that we simply can't miss as we watch the drama of Exodus unfold is this, that God is in complete control the whole time. You can't deny that. That God continues to display his authority in obvious ways, and Pharaoh's fatal error is that he continues to exalt himself or try to exalt himself over God. On the screen for you, I want you to see, God displays his authority over all the gods and resources of Egypt through a series of plagues. I want to show them to you. We don't have time to read it all in depth, but he shows his authority by turning the Nile into blood. The scripture reference is there. Please go and look it up. He shows his authority by filling the land with frogs. Now, this was a horrible infestation. Everywhere you went, there was frogs in your bowls, in your cabinets, in your shoes. Like everywhere you would go, there were frogs. He shows his authority by transforming the dust of the earth into gnats. Now, I don't know if you've ever encountered gnats, but these are just so annoying. You can't even get away from them, it seems. They're swarming around your face. What an infestation, but a display of God's authority. By sending swarms of flies in the air and on the ground, the Bible says. He shows his authority by striking all the livestock in Egypt dead. He shows his authority by afflicting the people and their animals with boils and sores, by sending a most severe hailstorm, a hailstorm such that if you were to stay under it, the hail was so powerful, it would strike you down dead. It was so severe. But God exercises his authority And he shows his authority by multiplying locusts onto the land such that they couldn't even see the ground, the Bible says. Can you imagine walking? You can't even see the ground. A display of authority. And he shows his authority by filling the land with darkness. No light for 3 days, such that the Bible says the darkness could be felt. He shows his authority over all of these things. The authority of God is obvious, and yet, loved ones, Pharaoh persists in a hard heart. Now, chapter 9, 16 to 17, we see why God is allowing all these plagues to unfold. He says in 9, 16 to 17, to show my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Watch this. You, Pharaoh, are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. I don't know what else Pharaoh needs to see. I don't know what other pain Pharaoh needs to experience. Now, there's one more plague coming up, and we're going to deal with it next week. But this last plague will bring Pharaoh to his knees almost. But God is showing his power. God is showing his authority so that he will be worshipped, and the gods of Egypt will be seen as nothing. On the screen for you, Exodus chapter 8, 19, Pharaoh wouldn't even back down, even though his own magicians came to the end of themselves and tried to plead with him. Notice on the screen, then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." His own magicians were like, "Pharaoh, this is God. We can't overcome this power." Here it is again. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Oh, loved ones, what a devastating thing a hard heart is. And not only are these plagues being unleashed upon Pharaoh, but one of my friends told me this week, just shared this a little insight with me, in that this gives us a glimpse into what poor leadership does as well. Pharaoh's not the only one getting hammered by these plagues, but he is exposing the entire nation to the devastation of the plagues because he continues to harden his heart. How can you and I know that we have a hard heart? When you insist and persist in unbelief, even though God's power and authority is obvious and undeniable. And maybe there's just one person in this room, and there was a point in your life where you tasted the goodness of God. There was a point in your life where you saw that the power of God was undeniable. Maybe you're here in this room and you look back at your life and God has done some things for you. God has intervened in your life. And yet now, for whatever reason, you have hardened your heart towards him. A hard heart is a dangerous and devastating thing to hold on to. You say, "Is that me? How could I know?" Well, when you persist in unbelief, even when your idols are powerless, when you persist in unbelief, even though God's power is obvious. I wonder if there's anyone in this room and you look back at your life and you say, "Man, God has shown me some things. But I'm persisting. I'm insisting on chasing those things that can never, ever satisfy. Ever." And this is for someone today. You know it distinctly right now. You're here in this room and you know it distinctly because you have chased everything. And you say, "Why am I not happy?" It's the utter devastation
of a hard heart. But God loves you, and God in his grace is calling out to you, and here's the summons: yield to him. Turn to him. Call out to him. Forsake the idols you've been chasing and lean on him. He loves you. Three signs of a hard heart: persisting in unbelief even when my idols are powerless. Persisting in unbelief even when God's authority is obvious. And finally this, write this down. Final sign of a hard heart: persisting in unbelief. Here it is. Even if it means I'm disingenuous. Even if it means I'm disingenuous. Sadly, we live in a time where it's become easy to be disingenuous and hypocritical in the church. I think it's always been this way, but I think we're living in a time where we are particularly susceptible to this. You can sit in church every week and you can be disingenuous. You can be hypocritical. Why? Because biblical illiteracy is at an all-time low in churches everywhere. Because accountability is viewed as an inconvenience to our lives. We'd rather have entertainment than true theology. We prefer momentary hype to the reality of painful endurance. And it's indicative of a rising generation that is marked by hard hearts. What a terrifying thing it is to think and consider that churches all over our city are populated with people who are hardened. And the hardness of hearts is indicative, it's indicated by this disingenuous, inauthentic way of living. One of the sure signs of a hard heart is this willingness to be disingenuous. And churches are full of people who are willing to be inauthentic. Go to church and put my hand up and sing the song, put the smile on my face, dress the part, and nobody knows what's going on in my life because I hate accountability. I don't want anyone to know what's happening in my heart. None of their business anyways. And I'm going to go to that church that doesn't really hit me really hard with the word of God. I'm going to go where they make me laugh and you kind of hang around there. And that's breeding hypocrisy. And it's the mark of a hard heart. And could it be that we live in a time where there is a new generation of so-called Christians that are marked by a hard heart, not a soft heart, not a moldable heart, not a yielding heart? We see this exemplified in Pharaoh in three main ways. I'm going to get ready to close with these. I want you to look closely to see if this describes your heart, because identifying these things could save your life from the devastation that is sure to come to all who harden their hearts against God. I want you to write this down. The hypocrisy of a hard heart is expressed through, write this down, a bargaining with God. Bargaining with God. Notice Exodus 8, 25. Look at it in your Bibles. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. It's important. By the time we get to the fourth plague, Pharaoh's beginning to feel the pain. And he says, okay, fine, I'll let you go worship your God for a bit, but you need to stay in Egypt. The problem is that God demands that he release the people to go a 3 days journey to sacrifice to the Lord so that they are outside of the jurisdiction of Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh's hard heart causes him, by the painful circumstances, to think he can bargain with God, to maybe strike a compromise. All right, Moses and Aaron, you go over there and worship. Just right there. Let me know if your God thinks that's going to be okay. It's not okay, because the command is let the people go.
and let them go a 3 days journey outside of your jurisdiction to see them worship the one true and living God. Loved ones, how many times have we witnessed or experienced this in our lives? I just want you to look at your own heart. You're in a jam. Something's going on in your life. You're in a tough spot, and you come to God running. God, I will let you have this part of my heart if you can just get me out of this jam. I'm going to keep doing this stuff. I don't want to let go of these things. These things are too dear to me. I want to keep, okay, God, is that okay? Just get me out of this tough spot. I'm going to keep doing this. That should be okay, right? But I'll do this. So many people think they can bargain with God. That's a sign of a hard heart. It's a sign of a disingenuous heart. It's a sign of a heart that is not authentic towards God. The hypocrisy of a hard heart is expressed through a bargaining with God. Secondly, this, the hypocrisy of a hard heart is expressed through, write this down, a false surrender to God. Oh, how this is a big one. This is a big one in the evangelical church. Notice Exodus 9. Jump over to Exodus 9, starting from verse 27. I want you to look at it. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, watch this, Pharaoh saying this, "This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong." Sounds good. "Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail." Say, I can't take it anymore. "I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Down to verse 33. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and thunder and the hail ceased. What grace. And the rain no longer poured upon the earth. Oh, watch this. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Go down to chapter 10 now. Chapter 10, starting from verse 16. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, here it is again, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me." So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord, and the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. What a grace. Verse 20, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. You know you have a hard heart when you run to church, when life is hard, and you say, "God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my complacency. Forgive me for running away from you. God, I'm coming to you. God, I surrender my life to you." And there's tears, and there's a little bit of a sense of brokenness, and you leave, and you feel like you're doing business with God, but then things get easy, and all of a sudden, you forget all your commitments to God. And you go back to doing the same thing. And in many cases, you go back and you intensify the behaviors. It's disingenuous. It's what marks so many churches today, this false surrender, this atmosphere that we try to manipulate in churches. The music's good. The lights are going. There's smoke machines. The pastor's saying it in just the right way. You're feeling it because your life is messed up right now. You come and you feel like you're surrendering, but in your heart, you're not truly yielding everything to God. You just want your problem to be solved. That's disingenuous. It's hypocritical. It's inauthentic.
And it's seen as inauthentic when life changes for the better. And who's God again? Who's Jesus? What's the Bible? That church that I went to, and I went for like 3 weeks straight because, man, the sermon was hitting my heart. But now things are better. I don't need that anymore. Oh, loved ones, how many people have I seen walk through these doors with tears, with brokenness, with circumstances you can't even believe? But they're gone, nowhere to be found when things change for the better. The hypocrisy of a hard heart, dangerous, dangerous. Bargaining with God, false surrender to God. Last thing is this. The hypocrisy of a hard heart is expressed through, write this down, irrational defiance against God. Look at Exodus 10, 27 to 29, located in your Bible. Exodus 10 to 27 to 29. But the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, to Moses and Aaron, get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on the day you see my face, you shall die. Moses said, as you say, I will not see your face again. It's plague number 9. Darkness fills the land, and there's no more bargaining. There's no more inauthentic surrendering. All that's left is the devastating destination of a hard heart. I don't care anymore. And that's what Pharaoh says. He says, I'm done bargaining. I'm done pretending that I'm surrendering. I don't even care what you do anymore. Get out of here, Moses. If you come back here, I'm gonna kill you. That's the devastating destination of a hard heart. You don't care anymore. You don't even think about it anymore. You just got so used to the consequences of your sin, you don't care anymore. And it's irrational. It doesn't make sense. That's what sin does. It makes you operate in your life in a way that is irrational. You say, why is it irrational? It's irrational because if you consider all that God has just done, dropping the plagues, lifting the plagues, staffs swallowing up all of their staff, like everything that God has just done, at a moment, at a word, as Moses just beckons God to stop, the hail stops. It's irrational to say, I will defy this God in light of all that God has done. But listen, that's what Pharaoh does, and that's what so many people in this world do. I sit in my living room sometimes, often, every morning. I look out, and I love the fall season. I sit in my living room, and I get a cup of coffee in my hands, and I just look out the window, and I got this tree that turns from green to this beautiful golden yellow, and I look at it and I say, how can anyone say there's no God? And then I look and I see the leaves falling, and I just stare at it, the leaves falling off the tree and landing on the ground, because I know that next season they're gonna start to bud, and they're not gonna be gold and yellow, they're gonna be green, and then they're gonna flourish. And I look and I say, God is real. God is awesome. We have so much evidence that there is a God. Yet how many of us have hardened our hearts such that maybe some of you are at this destination now? You don't care. It's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. But there's one more plague we're going to see next week. God is going to show his supreme power, and Pharaoh is going to be brought to his knees. And all of these plagues are leading to deliverance. Deliverance for the people of God. But it's interesting. We'll see that even when the people of God are delivered, the people of God themselves harden their hearts. Did you know that? It's not just something that Pharaoh wrestles with. The people of God harden their hearts for all of God's grace, for all of God's power put on display, for the miraculous rescue from a 400-year bondage. Even still, God's people end up rebelling against him. But there's good news. There's good news because all of this points to a greater deliverance for people. The deliverance of the people of Israel points to a greater deliverance. The mediator, Moses, points to a greater mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ will come to bear the plague that our hard hearts deserve. Jesus Christ will come to offer a righteousness that our hardened hearts could never earn. And if you're in this room today and you walked in with a hard heart, but your heart is softening somehow right now. Your heart is softening because you know that God saw the hardness of people's hearts. And everything unfolding in Exodus points to this reality that Jesus Christ, the supreme mediator, will come to rescue hardened people, to come and die on the cross for our sins and our hardness, that Jesus Christ will take upon himself our sin and our hardness of heart, the penalty of it, and he will give to us his righteousness, his perfect righteousness. If your heart is softening today, all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me, I've been hard. And my heart is softening right now because I know things are not right in my life. Because I know that things need to be changed. I need to make terms of peace with you. I can't keep living this way, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. The utter devastation of the hardness is being seen. Oh, loved ones, would you turn to Jesus Christ today? You don't have to do anything. You just turn to him and you say, I'm sorry, Lord, that I've been hardened. Forgive me. Thank you for your blood that was shed to wash me so that I can have a soft heart, so that you can indwell this heart with your Holy Spirit, so that you can give me grace and strength to follow you. So that even when I mess up in my life, I can find forgiveness. Loved ones, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and do what you got to do to stay focused here. Some of us need to make a decision today to see the reality of my hard heart. To see the devastation it has brought upon me and to heed the warning of the devastation to come. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't care about anything you're saying. Your heart is hard. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, what you're saying, it's not even for me. I don't even care. I don't even know why I'm here right now. Oh, loved ones, your heart is hard. Heed the warning. Receive his grace and turn with repentance and faith to him. Lord Jesus, I pray that people in this room would decide right now to follow Jesus Christ. We decide that nothing in this world can satisfy me, that you are all that I need. I put my faith and trust in you, and according to your sovereignty, Lord, I pray you would turn people's hearts even today from darkness to light. And we trust you to do that. We ask you to do that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. If you agree, church, say amen.